Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Uncle Cheo, Uncle Cheo. There's no bad guy like Uncle Cheo. Never lost, not even a round. Undefeated, undisputed, oh yeah. Here comes the bad guy.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I will tell you guys, I was faked out this morning to the highest of levels. Tell me if this has happened to you. You look out your window to try to gauge what you should put on for the day. So I look out the window. It's beautiful. I mean, the sun is coming down. The sky is bright blue. There is not a cloud in sight. So what do? I put on a t-shirt like a reasonable person. I walk outside. It is so cold in Oregon. It's like 38 degrees. I go get in my car. I can't even drive because I can't see out the windshield. So I turn my wipers on and it does that, you know, as the wipers are getting drawn across ice. My whole windshield was frozen. So at some point it dipped below 32 degrees, which is a major fake out because it was a month ago. We were swimming in pools. It was so warm. It is a very beautiful day. I am grateful for that, but I had to go back inside, change my clothes, grab a jacket, which was hard to find, but I did find one. At any rate, I also caught some news. This came yesterday, but Ben Askren had gone on Errol Hawani's show and said, you know, after this loss to Maya, I'm going to consider retirement. And there's a few things at play there. Generally, when somebody starts talking about retirement, the first thing they're looking for is to see which way the wind blows in terms of response. Do the masses come out and say, oh, no, whoa, don't even talk that way. You got plenty more left, and you're easing your way into this, and you had 10 years undefeated, and now you've got 3 months of a rough spot, whoa. Or do they go, you know what, that's a good idea. I was going to bring that up to you, but since you brought it up, yeah, we're on the same page. And you go, well, yeah, you know, like I said, and they go ahead and retire. But generally, that is step number one, and that's how I interpret it. So I'm going to put my 2 cents in. Ben Askren's goals as an athlete from the time he was a little boy have been nothing short of spectacular. He wanted to be the Olympic champion. I went to the University of Oregon. I was out of college when Ben was coming through his run, and even I knew what his Friday and Saturday nights were like. It was a thing of legend. He did nothing. He stayed home. And he watched tapes of Russians training and wrestling. The Russians, predominantly in wrestling, win more Olympic and world medals than anybody else. That's why I point that out for you non-wrestling fans. But the point is, he's studying technique. He's calling his brother on the phone. They're working on the everybody's out at the bar. Everybody's out having a good time. Him and his little brother Max are in the on the living room, moving the coffee furniture out of the way so they can slow a tape down and rewind it and work on defenses to a single leg attack. Point being, when you have goals that high, sometimes it is very hard to ever stop having those goals. And when you don't see a clear trajectory to the gold belt in this case, it's easier to just go, well, I'm out. I've seen guys do this. It's a very real thing. I respect it. They short themselves opportunity. They short themselves memories. They short themselves of a career, but it's not what they want to do. They're not there just to have a match. They're not there just to show up and be one of the guys. It's a different mindset. I respect it. This line of work, look, this isn't like being an insurance salesman, okay, where you go, you know, I kind of like to get out, but you don't. You hang in there another 3 years, and yeah, maybe you've got some lower back pain from sitting at your desk too long, but it's different. It is different than staying in combat if that's not what you want to do. Now, I do have a different, that's the mental side. I have a different assessment of Askren from a physical side, okay? He was thrown into the wolves. Don't forget, the same night that he lost to Maya, over on another network, there's Douglas Lima winning a championship, a Grand Prix, and $1 million. Oh, and by the way, they had met up. I only point that out because to make believe in any walk of life that Ben Askren is not world class is just historically not true. That is fiction. That is hater talk. And you get to do that as a fan. I wouldn't correct you if you did do it. It's part of being a fan. You buy the ticket. You could cheer or boo. You do anything you want. I will just share with you that it would still not be accurate. Ben Askren's induction into the UFC, he was dealt from the bottom of the pile, for sure. He had to walk in there with Robbie Lawler. Your first time in the UFC sucks. Your first time in Bellator. Your first time in ONE. It's not unique just to the UFC. Your first time in a new organization. Ask Eddie Alvarez. It's a rough one. It just is. But then ask Eddie Alvarez, once you get your feet wet and you get the hang of things, just how far you can go. So he gets dealt Robbie Lawler on his first day. The former champion, the number 5 ranked guy in the world. That's Robbie Lawler standing across from him on his first day at work. How many of you on your first day at work want to go fight Robbie Lawler? I think you could at least relate to that. Your first day in the office. Lawler's not wearing a t-shirt and has a mouthpiece in. What's going on here? Okay. Well, he found a way through that one. His second day, I think you have to throw that out in fairness, don't you? Can we all at least agree that just take that off the board? Good for Masvidal, but not bad for whoever the opponent would be. That shot would have knocked out a donkey. Nobody could take that shot. And it landed right on the face. Okay, take that one off the board. Oh, by the way, the guy who happened to throw the shot, Masvidal, is getting ready to headline Madison Square Garden. So, once again, not as though anybody did him any favors. And then he ends up there with Maya. That's just a hard fight. Ask me. I've been in there with Maya. Ask Anderson Silva. He's been in there with Maya. Ask Tyron Woodley. He's been in there with Maya. That's just a hard night out. No way around it. And by the way, it was a really great fight. I mean, it was a really, really good fight. Crazy, scrambling, heart rate up, sweat dripping fight. So to look at yourself from a physical standpoint, in there with those three trained world-class killers, getting a mixed result, in fairness, won the first one, I'm throwing the second one out, lost the third, I mean, it's a pretty mixed bag. And to think that physically it's time to go is inaccurate by Ben. That would be inaccurate. Mentally, if you want to go do something else, Ben's got a lot of options. He's a very busy guy. He does not sleep very much. He got his hand in stuff you guys don't even know about. He's involved in cryptocurrency and Litecoin. I mean, Ben's doing stuff that you don't even know about. Coaches, not only a kids club, he coaches college guys with a world and Olympic dreams. I mean, he's busy. Oh, and by the way, gets his own training and has a fight career going. I mean, he's got options. Physically, if he wants to go on, yeah. And I don't even really know there's a whole lot to work on. I think he could show up the same as he showed up Saturday. He'll get a mixed bag. There'll be some really good wins in there, and there'll going to be some rear naked chokes slipped into. I mean, welcome to the sport. But that's my 2 cents on Askren's comments. I do believe that I am right, that was kind of his way of testing the water and seeing what other people thought. You know, I'm thinking about retirement, seeing what other people thought. So give him your thoughts. Don't forget, you don't always have to be a jerk about it. You know what really bothers me? Having to drive myself all over town just to get office supplies. As a world-class fighter and sports personality, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to do everything I need without all the hassle. Well, my guys at Zorro.com are here to make it easy for all of us because you can get everything you need in one place. Zorro.com. Guys, it's spelled Z-O-R-O. And it is where you're going to find everything you need for any business of any size in almost any industry, all in one place. Electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, don't sweat it. Zorro has you covered. Zorro.com has tools and equipment and safety and office supplies and cleaning devices and more from brands that you trust, like Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Zorro.com offers amazing customer service from real people right here in the U.S. And you're going to love the free and fast shipping for any order over $50. And just for listeners of this show, visit Zorro.com/Chael. Sign up for Zmail and you will get 15% off your first order. Again, that's Zorro.com/Chael. For 15% off your first order, Zorro.com/Chael. Get it all in one place. Well, 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 look who's back. My old friend Dave Mason. Man, I got to get right into it with you. We got the BMF title. It's going down this week. It's at Madison Square Garden. It's Masvidal. It's versus Nate Diaz. You got to tell me, how do you see it?
How do I see it? Oh, man, I can't wait. Ever since I heard this fight was happening, I mean, this one really gets my blood going. This is what fight fans love. It's going to be a slugfest to the biggest badasses in the sport, without a doubt. The way I see it, I like the plus money on Diaz. You know, this is one of those kind of fights that I like where I can't really figure it out, to tell you the truth. And when I can't figure out a fight and I can get plus money on a guy, that's my guy, to tell you the truth. We opened this kind of a coin flip by -110, and we let the money dictate where it was going to go. And some of the money came in on Masvidal, and the odds went up. And we actually went up a little bit too high last weekend, a -205 on Masvidal, and we got hit by a very respected bettor on Diaz at +170, so we dropped it back down. But the public is on Diaz, and I hate being on the public side. About 74% of the early bettors are on Diaz, but that's my side as of now. I'm still going to wait to see how those odds move. I think I think the sharper action is going to be on Masvidal, but the public's going to be all over Diaz. So the odds are going to move there. So, you know, it's going to be a waiting game. It's all about the number at the end of the day. But gun to head right now, I'm taking plus money on Diaz. Their styles are made for each other, right? They're just going to come forward and bang it out. And, you know, neither guy gets finished. I think they have how many fights? 40-some fights in the UFC or 30-some fights in the UFC and 41 fights in the UFC. And the only one that's ever been stopped was Diaz once by Josh Thompson years ago. So this is going to be a good one.
No, Dave, I really appreciate that analysis by you, because that you're speaking for me. I'm stuck in that same spot, man. I can't form my own opinion. I do kind of go back and forth. I think you have two different fights if it wasn't a main event, and let me tell you what I mean by that. I think that the fact that it's five rounds is going to help Nate Diaz. I think if this was a three-round fight, so in any way you want to do it, but not a main event, it would be a three-round fight. And I think that would be better for George. Now, I only base that. I'm not even basing that on skills, Dave. I'm basing that on history says Nate Diaz should not be ready. He sat out for 3 years and has only fought one time. That is what the rule book says. However, that's not what his performance against Anthony Pettis showed us. So I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I'm going, what the hell's going on here? If that was a rusty Nate Diaz that beat the hell out of Pettis, then how good is this Diaz going to be? Maybe that 3 years is exactly what he needed to rest his body, rest his mind, rejuvenate. I mean, this is almost like a different guy. That doesn't happen. You don't get better at something by not doing it, but I've never seen him look so good.
No, you're absolutely right. And I was talking about with our head odds guy the other day, and he's anti-Nate Diaz, and I'm pro-Nate Diaz, so we always have arguments whenever he fights, man. And, you know, I'm like, you don't give him enough respect, et cetera, et cetera. And that was he was saying before the Pettis fight, oh, he's 3 years off and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, you might have a point, but then he comes out looking great. And, you know, sure, there is that thing called ring rust, right? But on the flip side, the dude's rested. I mean, he's been in so many fights. I mean, that 3 years off kind of, like you said, just could have rejuvenated him. And you know, he keeps care of his body. And so he's not out there, you know, eating crap and everything. We all know about his diet, his infamous for his diet, and how he and his brother take care of themselves in the triathletes and always working out and monster cardio, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, he looks so damn good against Pettis that – give me the plus money, man. Give me that +40. Now, I think Jorge has the edge. If I'm just flip a coin, who wins? I'm taking Jorge. But when I'm getting plus money, +140, +145, whatever price I'm going to get, I'm leaning Diaz.
And, you know, when I tell you I like Diaz in the later rounds, because we know what a cardio machine he is, that does get offset if you were to confront me with reality, which says, okay, Jay, well, tell me a time that Masvidal ever faded. You know, maybe Diaz is known for his cardio, but to make believe that Masvidal doesn't have cardio, that's just not true either. So it really is one of these fights where we just got to see it, Dave. We just have to see these guys fight. Let me ask you this. One thing, BMF titles involved here. Now The Rock himself is getting involved and going to put, you know, the belt around the winner's waist. It's really caught on. But one of the things that happened when that happens is these guys sucked all the air out of the room. And the truth is, this whole card is stacked. Are you guys taking action anywhere else? Are you? Is there a co-main event? Could I make a bet on Till Gastelum, by example?
Oh, of course you can. Absolutely. And Gastelum is a favorite, -195. Take back on Till is +170. The sharper action is on Gastelum. But yeah, I mean, this card is awesome, man. I can't wait. This is one of the best cards of the year, if not the best, in my opinion. And yeah, I can't wait. We're actually going to post some interesting props. You know, we love our props. I'm going to post some interesting props here probably after I get off the horn with you. Will Diaz flip off Masvidal? That's going to be yes, plus 300. Number
Hell
of
yes.
F-bombs Diaz drops in the post-fight octagon interview, over under 2.5. First to bleed, Diaz will be minus 180 favorite. I don't know if he wants to be a favorite in that. And will Diaz land a Stockton slap? So we're going to have some fun props for this big fight.
Oh, I love it. Hey, and you know what the hardest one there for? Some of those, I know the answer. That's easy money. 2.5 on the F-bomb. I think he's at 2 even. I don't think you go over. I think most people are going to bet that he goes over. I think 2 is the number.
Well, that's that. Not, under is going to be minus 180. So over 2.5, under minus 180. So if he goes over 2.5, you're going to get plus money.
Hey, a little bit random, but if Dominic Reyes, who I trust you're following, if he was to get announced as the next opponent for John Jones, do you give him a chance? By example, does the book start at 5-1, or is he a little tighter to start things?
I mean, the thing with these John Jones fights and any kind of heavy favorite like that, the public's going to be on the dog. So you can open them a lot more conservative. You know, I could say, hey, it's minus 800, but no one's going to take that at minus 800. Everybody's going to take the plus 600. So you're going to run up a big red figure on that. So we'll open lower than we think. It's better to open lower on those John Jones type of fights than to open higher, because the public just takes those big dogs in these fights, whether Reyes is going to be plus 300, plus 400, plus 500, on up. We're going to be rooting for John Jones that night. So conservatively, you know, shoot, we'd open him, and we're going to open it this week, probably minus 500, maybe even a little lower, minus 400, and see what happens. But, you know, like I said, open this John Jones. I mean, that's a good thing about booking this UFC. Whenever John Jones fights, we get to root for him because everybody's on the dog.
Sure. And I'm guessing by your tone, but just clarify it for me. It sounds like you, Dave Mason, just the human being, you think Reyes has a bit of a chance.
Everybody's got a chance, I guess. But I just think his length is something Jones really hasn't seen yet at 205, right? He's a big dude. So I think that's going to be interesting. Well, not that he hasn't seen anything, because he saw it with Gustafson, obviously, and Gustafson gave him a hell of a run that first fight. So I don't know. You know, it's an interesting matchup. It's one of the better guys I think he's fought in a while. Even though, you know, John had a very tough battle his last fight with that bruiser. So we'll probably open about minus 400, minus 450, right around there. It could go down. It just gunned ahead. Me, when you're talking about real percentages, I'm thinking minus 600, minus 700, but I'm going to open it. We'll open it lower than it should be.
All right, let's see where that goes. And I tend to think the public are going to bring that a little closer. This Dominic Reyes is a bit of a cult hero right now. I know the yep. little old lady in Iowa won't know who the hell he is, but the hardcore fan does, and he's undefeated, and he's younger. There's something to be said for that in fighting. The history of fighting, yep. It does kind of favor the younger guy, and for so long that was John, the youngest champion of all time. Time's passed, and now he's got an opponent that's younger than him. I just think there's a dialogue there that could move the line, but we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir.
All right, Dave, you got anything else to get off your chest?
Oh, man, where do I start? Personal stuff or fight stuff?
Yeah, what do you want to get into? You want
to
tell some secrets? You have a crazy dream last night?
And we got all four major sports in session right now, college football, great UFC card this weekend, Breeders' Cup. I mean, it's a fun time of year to be a sports fan and to be in on the action at betonline.ag.
Awesome. You are the man. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much.
Good catching up. All right, guys, Dave Mason, betonline.ag. That is free, by the way. I know that's a sponsor for the show and I plug it, but that is truly a free account if you want it to be. You can also monetize your account and they will give you a 50% bonus. Just use the promo code podcast1. That's up to you, but getting that insight, it's a knowledgeable guy, and I call him a knowledgeable guy because he's willing to put his money where his mouth is.
This is Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Pro wrestling fans, listen up. WWE Hall of Famer and one of the greatest to ever step between the ropes, Jerry the King Lawler.
And I don't think we'd have it any other way.
Join the King and his co-host, Sean Reedy, as they get together to reflect on Jerry's legendary career from Memphis to the WWE to just about everywhere else.
Let me ask you one question.
Who's the greatest wrestler in the world?
Download new episodes of The Jerry Lawler Show every Friday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. And if you love the show, tell your friends and leave a rating and review.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Meanwhile, Conor McGregor is locked down in a hotel in Russia. So are you guys following this story? Let's start at the beginning like you're not. Conor announces a press conference in Russia. Nobody knows, one, if he's serious. I mean, Conor's been saying so much stuff. You don't for sure even know if it's happening. Two, big question, whose press conference is it? Did the UFC, is this a fight media sports press conference? Or is this for the whiskey brand, which, by the way, is getting ready to launch in Russia? Well, it turned out it was the whiskey. Okay, great. But if Conor wants attention for whiskey, then Conor needs attention for Conor, and Conor is best known as a fighter. Great, so we have some fight talk. He even dropped I'm going to be fighting January 14th, Las Vegas, gives a little couple of clues there. Opponent was unnamed, but speculation started to rise that it was Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone was leading the pack. Makes a lot of sense. For a couple of reasons, that makes a lot of sense. One is because Donald is also behind an alcohol brand known as Coors Light. I mean, that may sound silly, but from a marketing standpoint, if you get the power of Coors versus the power of Proper 12, you have something. Aside from the fact that you have Conor and Cowboy, I mean, there's just something there. Conor goes out, and he's answering questions, right? It's a media day, so that's basically a Q&A, except it's not fans, it's media, but I guess fans were allowed into the event. I say, I guess, because I watched it, but the way the camera was set, it was just on Conor. There was no camera behind Conor to then show the audience. But when the audience got involved, and they did get involved, to the fact that Conor got in a shouting match of sorts with a gentleman that was never clear to me if he was Dagestani specifically or Russian specifically. But he was in Russia, and he was upset about some things Conor said about Dagestan, which happens to be where Khabib is from, which is why that region gets worked into the story. Okay, so the guy picks up a bottle at some point because Conor even telegraphs this and says to the guy, very calm, he says, hey, don't throw that bottle. So the guy must have acted like he was going to throw it. Well, the guy did throw it. 1 second later, a bottle comes flying by and Conor slips out of the way. And Conor's standing his ground. Conor somehow ends up back at the hotel in Moscow. And the hotel somehow gets surrounded by a bunch of thugs from Dagestan. Now, when I say that, I am actually quoting an article from Bloody Elbow when they said thugs from Dagestan. But now I'm left to believe that they're right on where the guys are even from. What is a lynch mob show up? And by the way, they're holding their driver's license, so you get to know where they're from. So I'm quoting the article. And you're also left to try to decide, what does that mean, thugs from? Was there five guys? Was there two? Was there 20? I mean, they shut the hotel, locked it down. Not just to Conor. They locked it down. Nobody could come or leave. They had to deal. They had to get the police and deal with this issue. I'm into the whole story. I'm into the drama of it all. I'm into nobody got hurt, and so we've got something to talk about. And even if it's a little bit more rugged and a little more guerrilla tile, nobody got hurt. Okay. But I do have a bigger concern as it pertains to Conor, because one of the things that Conor had said in that press conference is, I don't love what you guys are doing. You guys were using my face and putting it on national brands of chicken to try to call me a chicken, but you also did it business-wise to sell your product, and I didn't get anything for that. And that's not right. If I am the spokesman, even if I'm the one being teased, if I am literally the face you're using to sell your poultry, I get a cut. Well, he's right. That is dirty pool. But he went further on the subject of chicken to say, here I am. So who's the chicken now? Here I stand before you in Moscow alone. So don't call me a chicken. Okay, Conor, I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that because you don't need to flex. That's kid stuff. That's little kid stuff. Once you become an adult, now if you go in the fight game, yeah, there's going to be some call-outs that go back to playground rules, and you're scared of me, and oh, no, I'm not, so I'm going to step up and do. There's a piece of that here, I get that, but that in the pie is one little slice. It's 10%. It's 12%, but it's no more of the pie. It's a little piece. Don't live your life that way. That's kid stuff. Do not walk around and think you have to put yourself in jeopardy, that you need to put yourself in a region and then challenge them and then have a hotel lockdown and walk out and face them and pound yourself on the chest. Don't live life that way. It's a little piece of the sport. We all had to do it when we were kids. But once we graduate high school, that kid stuff is gone. We open a new chapter. And I say that on kind of a sobering note, because I don't want Connor to be in a bad situation because he thinks he has to prove his bravery. Connor has proved his bravery. But aside from that, and his chosen profession, none of us need to walk around and prove our bravery by doing something stupid. Don't mistake showing bravado with being dumb. I don't have a tremendous problem that he went to Russia to launch his whiskey brand. I don't. I also don't think it was tremendously necessary. Why is him having boots on the ground, knowing he's not wanted, having somebody throw a bottle at him, staying there, going to a hotel, getting surrounded? There's no way to live life. It's just not. Particularly when you're already a tough guy, a respected tough guy, a notable tough guy, and you're in the tough guy business. Or sometimes you have to go and do tough things. We're still in society here. That's confined to the cage. I did not like that he, to show bravado, thought he needed to go break into the Barclays Center and throw weapons at a bus full of people to get to Khabib. I don't like that group mentality. I don't like the mob mentality that he had to punch an old guy in a bar because the guy insulted him. It's another part of life. You are going to be insulted. Did the guy physically touch you? No. Then you didn't, the right to defend yourself cannot be invoked. Turn the other cheek, walk away. That's it. The guy can get a license, get him a license, get him in the cage. That's how this works. Be as rough and tumble as you want, but reserve it for the cage. Other than that, live a happy life. That would be my advice. So, guys, since we have talked last, all hell broke loose with Nate Diaz, USADA, the UFC, the BMF title, the Madison Square Garden, the pay-per-view, any way you want to name it. It all broke loose, and I've talked about this on YouTube, but I have not talked to it specifically about you guys, and I think it would be irresponsible to at least not touch down on this. So let's start at the beginning. Nate Diaz, out of nowhere, Friday of last week, announces that he will not be coming to Madison Square Garden. He will not be coming to New York for anything to do with Fight Week. That he has been notified from USADA that he had an irregularity on a test. They will look into it. They will give him due process. They will work with him to get to the bottom of it. They are not accusing him, but the test says what the test says. And that's how USADA works. They're very polite. They're very reasonable. They get a bad rap. They're very reasonable. But they still have science, and they still have a test, and they still have to be objective, and they have to show integrity to that test. So they did what they did. But Nate, no, absolutely not. This goes no further. I don't eat meat, so I don't think I'm going to come to you with this tainted meat thing. I don't take illegal drugs, so don't think I'm going to come to you with that. Oh, and by the way, the few supplements that I do take, I get from Whole Foods and are as trusted as anything that has ever been sold. So you get your ass back into the lab. Somebody's working overtime, but you're getting this figured out, and you're getting it figured out tonight. And unless you do, I'm out. Whoa. Whoa, what just happened here? Now, guys, don't forget, everything I just told you is all Nate Diaz said. I summarized. That was not a quote, but it is verbatim. I'm right there. So we are left to connect all the dots. We have no idea what's going on. The United States Anti-Doping Agency did not put out a statement. The UFC did not put out a statement. Before or after? We only have what Nate said, so we are left to conclude that he had been notified by USADA. We are left to conclude that USADA had not come to a resolution, but that they were going to go look into something. And we were to conclude that they had a possible couple of angles to go with. Maybe the meat that he took off the board. Maybe a supplement which he took off the board. He took his own defenses away in a statement that never needed to be stated. That's just not what a guilty guy does. Now, that is not evidence that he is innocent. It's not. But it's not what a guilty guy does. So if we're all just playing in the circumstantial game here, and I'm telling you from a guy who was on the other side of the tracks, I'm telling you from a guy who did do it all and was looking for an excuse that somebody would buy. That, what Nate did, is not what a guilty guy does. It's just not. Time went on. They did do just what Nate told them to do. They did stay in the office later. They did reopen the lab after hours. They did pay the money and bring in better experts, and they did clear him, which means my statement that I made with no evidence that he was not guilty. It turned out that I was right on that. He wasn't guilty. He then says, not enough. Publicly apologize and do it twice. Now, I don't know why they had to apologize twice. I don't know, but that's what Nate demanded. Not only are you going to apologize, you're going to apologize twice. Now, I kind of would have liked to have grabbed Nate and go, hey, Nate, I get the public apology. I get clearing your name. But I do have to remind you, the only one that brought this to the public's attention and the only one that maybe put you even in a little tiny bit of a bad light was you. You're the one that said it. Nobody else said it. Nobody made it public. USADA did not do this. Dana didn't do this. UFC didn't do this. You made it public. I feel if somebody had said this about you, yes, in kind. If they did it on social media, then in kind through social media, they would need to apologize and make it right. But you're the one that did it, and then you demanded an apology twice of other people, and you got it, which once again makes you unintentionally the smartest guy in the room. So now, guys, let's talk about, did this help? Did Nate Diaz and the beef with USADA and the apology times two, is that going to help the fight? Yeah, it is. It wasn't a marketing ploy, but the best marketing is organic. You'll hear the expression in March. Some company will come out and go, you can't pay for that kind of advertisement. Well, that's really true. In the world of marketing and advertising, you only have so many options. You could go to TV, you could go to digital, you could go to billboards, newspaper, yellow pages, mail things out to a selected area. There's only so many options that you could do for marketing and advertising. This is organic. This happened on accident. This was real. This was not paid for. This was not meant to go anywhere. This was covered by everybody. I still remember the day that Nick Diaz ended up on SportsCenter. Nick Diaz has never been on SportsCenter. Chael, how do those statements work? Allow me to explain. Nick Diaz did not show up to a press conference for a world title fight. And by the way, this press conference was supposed to be so big. Most press conferences, you've got everybody on the main cards up there. Some of them they'll bring in and they'll cover five cards at once. You got 20 people up there. This fight between Nick and George was so big. Dana scheduled a press conference. Three people were invited. Nick, George, with Dana in the middle. So when 33% of said press conference doesn't show up, imagine how happy the boss that paid for it all is going to be. Imagine how happy and willing the media that showed up on their expense through their outlet's checkbook when they don't have anybody to talk to. Imagine that. That's what you call a phone interview, okay? The press conference, everybody has to be there. Nick no-shows that Dana is so mad. He calls on speaker Caesar Gracie, Nick's handler, coach, manager, mentor. Talks to him on speaker for everybody to hear so everybody knows I did my job. I did my part. I got stiffed here. Caesar takes a call. So Dana is so mad. This is legit. He's thinking of canceling the fight. And his argument isn't to punish Nick for Nick not showing. His argument is, you're not going to help sell the fight and we're in the fight business. Tough to do business with you. Secondly, if I can't trust you to show up to a press conference you said you'd be at, how can I trust that you'll show up on fight night? How? Pretty fair question by Dana. Well, the empty chair where Nick was supposed to be sitting, made for such incredible theater, SportsCenter put it on. The UFC couldn't even get on ESPN back then. Could not do it. Two people could get on ESPN at that time. Dana White and Brock Lesnar. SportsCenter put an empty chair because it told such an incredible story. All of a sudden, that fight, the analytics are now almost double what that fight was projected to do with Nick Diaz refusing to do media. Everybody goes, hey, Dana, you got to ride this one out, man. You're a gambling man. Let's just roll the dice that he does show up because business is looking pretty good. And by the way, he skipped media before, but he's never skipped an ass-whipping contest. I think we can count on him. And Dana goes, yeah, I'm a gambling man. I see the numbers. Let's do it. And it worked out. It's unintentional. Does he get credit for being a marketing genius? No. No. Is he a marketing genius? Well, you decide. You tell me. I don't think that's a story that a professor could tell in a college and encourage students to go to work for a Fortune 500 company and then do something like that. But I do think there was something to be observed. Organic news and media, things that people say you couldn't pay for that kind of advertising. That's a real thing. Everybody is talking about this fight. Everybody. Some good, some bad, some because of the drama of last week, some because Nate got two apologies. If I could ask any part of this story, I'm good with the USADA thing. Whatever happened there, happened. I'm good with Nate pushing back. Whatever happened there, I'm good. The whole, the BMF, you think it's silly, you don't, you love it like I do. However you want to do that. If I could just ask Nate one question. Hey, Nate, I just need to know. Why two apologies? I am genuinely interested. Why's it got to be twice? When you're out there in the woods, hiking, camping, you need a pair of jeans that won't quit on you and never compromise. Well, look no further than ATG. It is a new line from Wrangler. ATG by Wrangler is the best of both worlds. All the things you love from Wrangler. Now, with high-performance fabrics and cool details made for the outdoors. It has durable fabric and stretches for comfort as well as a Comfort Flex waistband. This gear is made for anyone who hikes, fishes, camps, does anything outdoors. If you live in Oregon like me, this is the perfect jeans for you. Wrangler offers a ton of options with this line. Pants, shorts, jackets, shirts, they got it all. Want to check them out? Go to Wrangler.com/Chael to get hip to all the ATG by Wrangler style. That's Wrangler.com/Chael. Wrangler, wear it with abandon.
You're listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Now back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Francis Ngannou came out, and Francis Ngannou had said, I hate to lose, but I needed to lose to Stipe to prepare myself for the title. Now, to prepare myself for the title. Now, here's the question. Is that a reality, or is that something that guys just say? You've probably heard it before. Losing was the best thing that ever happened to me. Probably heard that, and it's a nice little Band-Aid to put on there and a way to move on to the next step. And a lot of times you need that. A lot of times you got to just move on to the next step. There will be times as an athlete, you got to block something from your bubble. Did it happen? It just did not happen. Take it off the board. You're laying in bed at night. You're thinking about your career, thinking about some of your experiences. There are some things you have to just throw out. That just didn't happen. You must lie to yourself as a way of preparing yourself. So there's a lot of things that happen there. But when I saw Ngannou say that, I was on the underground, saw the kids on the underground were talking about this. This is where this came up. And a lot of them were saying that it was nothing more than him just trying to tell himself that. While I don't know, I will share a story with you. Daniel Cormier had his first loss. It was to John Jones. And we were working together at Fox. And Steve Becker was the director of the show. And Cormier quit coming in for work. He didn't show up for like 3 weeks. And Becker's calling him. Becker's saying, hey, you got to get in here. You got work to do. And by the way, you're very topical right now. Even if it's for reasons you don't want it to be, people want to hear from you. And I have the rights to you, which means I have the rights to that footage and that you got to get to work. Cormier said, Becker, I can't do it. He said, I'm hurting right now. And I know myself. And I haven't lost very many times. I've had a good athletic career. I haven't lost very many times. But I know this pain. And I need to feel this pain. I need to sit here at my house with nobody around. And yes, I'm depressed, but I need to be. I need this pain because I know what it does to me when I come out the other side of it. And Becker accepted that. He didn't like it, but he accepted it. And it turned out to be a very true thing. Cormier knew himself. He'd only lost a handful of times, right? Most of us can't even relate to that. Hey, how do you respond after a loss? Like, yeah, lose all the time. How do I respond after a loss? Get beat all the time. I mean, that's usually sports. Wouldn't matter if you're playing baseball or you're playing football or basketball. Wouldn't matter if you're LeBron. You know how many times LeBron loses a year? That's generally the reality. Tiger Woods gets beat all the time. Okay, for Cormier, he'd lost like 5 times in 9 years. So it was different. And he could isolate and he could identify and he did know exactly how he responded to each one of those setbacks. I say that for you because he went on to become a world champion. He left the became world champion of a whole different weight class. I mean, he did some remarkable things. But he was able to pinpoint a lot of that motivation, which he needed at that time to recapture and reclaim, to a pain. And he wasn't in a hurry to make that pain go away like most people. Hey, new day. That alarm goes off, you get up and you answer the bell. Face the world. Good advice. He knew himself. And he was a coach. And an athlete will always be their own best coach. An athlete that's great will never coach themselves. They'll always have a coach. But an athlete will always be their best coach. They know. And he took control and he took charge. He felt pain. But it motivated him and he knew that it would. So I offer you that story in conjunction for the kids on the underground that are debating this. As it pertained to Ngannou's statement, maybe it's something you just say, but maybe it's not. Maybe there's a real thing there. Maybe he was getting too big for his britches. Maybe that spotlight came a little bit too bright and a little bit too fast. Maybe. And maybe he needed to be humbled to get hungry again. Maybe. That's how I interpret it. And I thought it was meaningful, and I thought you'd appreciate the story. One of the big fights that's going to go down this weekend that I feel is being undervalued, but it's Johnny Walker versus Corey Anderson. And even though that is valued, it's still not on the main card, and being on the main card is a very real thing. So because it's not on the main card, I'm going to point to it as one that's being overlooked, particularly when it does have title implications, and whether they're immediate or down the road a bit, they've got implications. Corey Anderson can only be ignored for so long. Johnny Walker is one of the hottest things on 2 feet. I was in a building, put this in perspective for you on this Johnny Walker. I was in a building with Johnny Walker in England 3 months ago for Bellator. Johnny was either there to watch or he was supporting somebody, maybe had a teammate. I don't know. All I know is when he came in, people started pulling out their cell phones, the crowd turned. It was this big thing. That's a microcosm. That's one arena. But it was an arena in a different promotion in a foreign land that was happy that he walked in and parked his ass on a seat. I think that's a pretty good focus group, guys. So Corey Anderson came out and he was talking about this fight. And he was very honest and open. He said, the UFC told me I need to become a needle mover before I can get bigger fights. And he goes, that's a little bit of a problem because I'm just not that guy. I'm not Joe Charisma that can captivate and always has fun things to say. There's another road and another path, and it's one that Kamaru Usman walked, where he just beat everybody till there was nobody left, and apparently that's the one I'm going to have to do. Now, I like that for many reasons. I like that he found an example in Kamaru. I don't think you never need to reinvent the wheel. The world's been around long enough. Find somebody else who's done what you want to do and then go copy them. I like that. But I do disagree with Corey tremendously on his assessment of himself. My first experience with Corey Anderson was through The Ultimate Fighter, and through The Ultimate Fighter, I was sitting at home. I'm on my couch watching this guy. He was very charismatic. He definitely stood out. His interviews definitely stood out. Then he had the skills to back it up. And then I found out he was a wrestler, you know, so now I got a guy to cheer for. I'm going to cheer for the wrestler. But he also had things to say that were very interesting. He continues to do that. He even did a face-to-face with John Jones. He found out John Jones was doing some signing at some event. He shows up. He does a dojo storm and makes sure to catch the whole thing on camera. Now, I don't want to become an advocate of that kind of guerrilla marketing, but to act as though there's not something there and that worked, point Corey Anderson, got the champ to respond to him. Champ had to respond to him. He's face-to-face with him. He does have it. He does have what it takes. He gets off track sometimes. I see Corey Anderson get off track. I want to grab him and shake him. I view that I am in the position to do that because I am older than him and we are both wrestlers. It's a respect thing. I never met Corey Anderson, but I feel that I can grab him and tell him that. I don't agree with his assessment. I like that he's taking hard fights. I like that he's getting there with Walker. I like that it's at Madison Square Garden. I like that he came out and shared the story with the UFC. Little bit of an Al Snow, Job Squad, pin me, pay me type angle, but I was into it. And then I liked that he backed it up by saying, I'm not going that path, but I have another one, and it's the Kamaru Usman route. And all Kamaru did is beat everybody till there's nobody left standing, and he took the damn belt. Okay, that's a story, Corey. All I want is a story. Who, what, when, where, and why. That's it. I'll decide as the viewer if you have a good story. If you don't, go find another one. But this is all promotion is having a story. We cannot say this enough times. Oh, he's a good promoter. Oh, he's not a good promoter. Oh, I'm being underpromoted. What the hell does that mean? All promotion is storytelling. Corey, you now have a story. And guess what, Corey? You told the story. Oh, and guess what, Corey? I got good news for you. We like the story. So, guys, I'm just about to get out of here. My producer told me, hey, make sure you touch on Henry Cejudo. So basically the nuts and bolts are this. Henry Cejudo was doing an interview with Brendan Schaub. And he just said, look, they want me to fight Benavidez at 125. Benavidez has beaten me in the past, and I understand that I owe Benavidez a fight. But I have two belts. I have two kingdoms. And in fairness, I'm going to go to whatever fight is biggest. And as I see it, that's not it. And to further my evidence, it's a rematch. Most people don't know it's a rematch because most people didn't care in the first fight. So you want me to fight a guy who I already fought and I have evidence that it didn't work the first time. This is Henry's stance. So he wants to go to 135, and he has two opponents that he's interested in. One is Frankie Edgar. The other is Dominic Cruz. Now, if you were to rewind about 6 weeks, he was also interested in Jose Aldo because there was some discussion that Jose was going to come down, but he's now shortened his list as of yesterday, and Aldo wasn't on it. When he was talking to Brendan, it was down to two. It was Dominic and also an interest in Frankie. The question is, what do you do with Benavidez then? Well, I don't know that I have, or I apologize, what do you do with Henry as it pertains to 125 pounds when Benavidez is the clear number one contender and clearly deserves a title shot? The question now becomes, who's that going to be against? Usually that answer is obvious. It's against the champ. What do you mean, who's the top contender fights the champion? Well, Dana stepped in and said, look, it's Benavidez. I'm not taking this from Benavidez. As a matter of fact, I'm giving it to Benavidez. I can't make Henry fight him. I can only offer the fight. I can only tell him this is my wish. He can tell me he doesn't want to do it. If he does that, fine, but I take the belt. You do not get to avoid the number one contender in this business. So I'll take the strap. That's a big deal. I mean, that's a really big deal. This champ-champ thing is very real. And champ-champ-champ, when you work the Olympic champ, it's a big deal. But is it big enough to have Henry go into a hard fight? It's going to be a hard night out in a hard training camp and have to cut an extra 10 pounds. Or he doesn't have to cut the 10 pounds, still trains really hard and has a bigger fight that then has a bigger reward. He is a prize fighter. I think we're going to see Henry at 135 pounds. That will be my quick cut to the chase on that, whether it's against Dominic or it's against Frankie. I do think you do have another story, though, which I think you can take Dana at his word. I think Dana's going to pull the belt. What does that mean? I mean, if we study the history of this division, even over the last 12 months, that's not a great sign. There was talk that 125 pounds was going to go away completely. And when Dana was asked about that a number of times, he said everything in the world except for, no, that isn't true, which left us to conclude that it was true, even though he didn't deny it. He didn't confirm it, but he didn't deny it. So now all of a sudden you're back in that same spot. Greatest fighter of all time, Demetrius Johnson, out. Now Henry Cejudo out, who is credited with saving the division. I'm just, it's a tough spot. And if you have Benavidez already in the finals, versus who? That's a real question. And will that fight work? If that fight doesn't work and that's for your title, there's no bigger fight you can make, right? You see where the whole division, there's the moving parts. It's a big deal. If I was Benavidez, I would totally have positioned this differently. He did a great job. Benavidez has done a great, what a great fighter. What a great career. What great wins. And he's found himself now in a number one contendership. What a great, great job he's done. But I do think it would be wise to start locking Henry down. I would trick him into something if I were Benavidez. Is it me you don't want, or is it 125 pounds? Is it me you don't want because I already beat your ass, or is it 125 pounds and you don't want to cut the weight? Start locking him down. Once you get him to agree that it's the weight class and it has nothing to do with you, surprise on him. Great, I'm coming up to 135. Dan, am I still the number one contender? Do you have a number one contender at 135? Oh, you don't? It's a little optional? Okay, well, I'm a number one contender. I'm from a different weight class, but so's he. I'd start locking him down. I'd start positioning myself now. Is that going to get you there? Eh, maybe, maybe not. But the way things sit right now, I don't think you're getting that fight at 125. Let's hear it for Geico for supporting this podcast all these years. Guys, in just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Geico has been offering great rates and great service for nearly 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to a trained specialist 24/7. Go to geico.com and start saving cash. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. Oh, I got some bad news. Oh, some breaking news coming in right as I'm sitting here. Paulo Costa out of the fight with Israel Adesanya. Oh, let me see here. I am literally reading this as I talk to you. Paulo Costa had surgery on his bicep and is out 8 months. They are looking for a new opponent for Adesanya. A lot of thoughts there. First off, get well, Paulo Costa. Sorry that happened to him. I wonder if he knew his surgery was coming up but didn't know how extensive that was going to be or if he suffered an injury. Well, I'll have to look into that. Okay, let's try to unpack this thing. So, who the hell's going to fight Adesanya? My understanding of that fight is that it was tentatively penciled in for February. I heard that somewhere, and like it was going to be in Auckland on top of that, New Zealand. He was going to get a fight at home. So let's operate on that assumption being true. So we've got until February, so we need a contender. I don't know that we need one today. I mean, I don't know that we need one today when February is that far away. Here's the thing with MMA. I mean, let's just take a look at this real fast. You've got a big problem right there, okay? Yoel Romero, who is always a great choice for a contender, has been put into three title fights, one an interim, one an undisputed, another undisputed, missed weight on one of those, lost the other two, was just in a number one contendership with Paulo Costa, lost, but it was a barn burner. I mean, it was as close you could be to winning while losing. So Yoel's a great option, but he's probably unlikely. Let's take a look at Kelvin Gastelum. Kelvin Gastelum and Adesanya, not only was a great fight, it is the leading contender for fight of the year, which is a major award that only has two more months left to get beat out. It also has a round of the year candidate within that fight. So to rematch that fight, yeah, that's going to happen at some point. Kelvin's about to fight with Till. Let's say Kelvin has a great win. Boom. Maybe you're off to the races right there. Let's look at the other side of that coin. Let's say Till comes out, gets the jump on Kelvin. I mean, what a difference a day makes within this sport. All of a sudden, a contendership is open. All of a sudden, Till's new to the weight. Oh, and by the way, all of a sudden, Till just beat Kelvin? I mean, you see where things could change. I don't think that we need to rush into this. You take a look at the next guy in line, if you will, Whitaker. Well, Whitaker's not going to be the guy offered the fight because, you know, that just happened. Guys need to start positioning themselves. There's a major opportunity here. Where's the shoe going to drop? I would encourage everybody to take a deep breath. Look, you can't turn to Weidman. He left the division. Can't turn to Jacare. He's about to fight. He left the division. I would take a deep breath. This sport, things happen very quickly. The winner of Till Gastelum in many ways solves a lot of problems. It really does. We are going to see Gastelum and Adesanya again, and people want to see it again. And I do not believe that any fight is going to take place in the next 2 months that is going to beat that out for fight of the year. So there is a lot of good reason to expect that fight, to anticipate that fight, and to predict that that could be the fight. But I'm not ready to do that right now. I think everybody needs to take a deep breath. I think the message as of right now needs to be, get well, Paulo Costa. I do not think the message right now needs to be, we need to find out today who's going to fight Adesanya if the date is true and it's not until February. Take a breath. Things happen fast in this sport. Let's see where this goes. Guys, I've had it with you. I really have. And sometimes I just say that, but today I mean it, so I'm going. But I'll be back on Friday. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Football season is here, and it's time to dominate the competition with your fantasy picks. And RJ Bell's Dream Preview on Podcast One Sportsnet is your secret weapon to victory.
I said the fact they didn't run it up in week one tells me this guy is so confident he wants to hide his strength.
No matter the matchup, RJ's got you handled with top-notch analysis for the best NFL picks around.
Now, is that true or not? I don't know. Very optimistic.
Download RJ Bell's Dream Preview every week on Apple Podcasts and podcastone.com.